I want you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14. You know, throughout Southern Baptist life, today is called Senior Adult Sunday. And the month of May is usually always about seniors, it's not only senior adults, but about those students who are getting ready to graduate. We'll do that in a couple of weeks, next week being Mother's Day. But today I want to talk to you about our senior adults. Now, my grandparents, as I began thinking about senior adults, and I want to tell you a real interesting story here about a couple of our senior adults here that I was riding around Tallapoosa. I was actually going to visit the Hildebrands, and I ride, y'all know where this stop sign is out in front of Ann Rodney's house. Y'all know where that is? So I'm riding down through there. I'm going to visit the Hildebrands, and I stop, and I look. You know, there's this ditch running down through their yard, separating Ann and Rodney's yard from the McCain's. Well, I see two people, a lawnmower is in that ditch, and two people are out pushing, shoving, pulling, and I was like, surely that's not who I think it is. So I turn right, go back, make the loop, come up by the Methodist church, come back down, and sure enough, it's them. So I pull in, walk down there, and I'm like, what are y'all doing? Rodney said, well, I was cutting grass here, and it slid down there. So at any rate, with a little bit of help, a little bit of brawn, a little bit of laughing, and a little bit of just living life together is what I would say, Rodney and Ann, we finally got their lawnmower out of the ditch. And I told him, I said, now look, if I'd have had a picture, if I'd have thought I would have gotten that picture and it would have been up on that today. But nonetheless, as I begin to think about senior adults, I begin to think about people like Ann and Rodney and how our lives have interacted and how they've intertwined, how the people of this church, how our lives are intertwined. But I also think about my grandparents. Now, my grandparents, all of them are dead now. I think about the life that they lived. They went from a horse and buggy to television, houses that had cracks in it. I can remember my grandmother and grandfather telling me that there were cracks between the boards on the outside of the house that were at least that wide. And they could look and see the chickens, or even in the floor of the house, they could see the chickens running up underneath the house. They went from houses with cracks in them, telephones, a mechanized war, World War II being the first modern mechanized war, to seeing space travel. A man land on the moon, computers. Now, how many of you still remember 8-track? My daddy had a 58 Chevrolet pickup truck, had dual headlights on it. And we named it Old Nelly because it was our old truck. Daddy had an 8-track in there, and we would shove it in there, and we would be singing and, you know, just having a great time. But it went from an 8-track. How many of you remember the tapes? Cassette tape? I remember cassette. Then we went from a cassette tape to a CD, from a CD to an iPod. Does anybody still have an iPod or anything like that? There's really no need for them now, though, are they? Because then it went from iPod to our handheld phones and continued to make them a lot better. But as I think about my grandparents and some of our senior adults, you have seen a lot in your lifetime. My grandparents were simple people. They loved people. They loved to be around people, particularly my Papa Tom Casey. He loved to be around people. He loved to talk to people. He loved to visit with others. He loved to work with wood. He loved using his one hand that he had. He'd only had part of his left hand, but he loved to do some carpentry work, and he was an amazing person to be able to do what he could with just that one hand. Loved to sit on the porch. I can remember as a child, I'd go out and sit on the porch, and my granddad, and we would listen to katydids. Have you ever done that? Just walked outside, sat on the front porch, and started swinging and listened to katydids. Anybody besides me ever done that before? Anybody ever, how many of you ever seen a katydid? Ever seen them? They're kind of huge green bugs. But nonetheless, my granddad loved to garden. That's what he loved to do. Of course, as he grew older, as all my grandparents grew older, but particularly my grandparents, my dad's mom and dad, Casey's, I watched them grow older, and I now realize, as I look back, I realize that they experienced Psalm 92:14. Psalm 92, verse 14 says, they will still yield fruit in old age. They will still yield fruit in old age. My grandpa Casey, we called him Papa Tom, he would always light up as Easter began coming around. Of course, not only was it because we were celebrating the resurrection of our Lord, but it was also time to start planting. It was time for him to start working on his tractor, start plowing up land, start preparing the land and the ground for the summer and fall harvest. I've seen Papa Tom yield fruit. I've seen him yield crops that he not only allowed the family to put up and can, which that comes from a different generation. Not many people do that anymore. It's that builder generation that went through the Great Depression that experienced what putting up food was about. But I've seen him raise crops and yield fruit in his old age and give it away to others, not only to his family but to others. Yet too often, as I think about senior adults in general, yet too often senior adults are simply put out to pasture far too early. You know, retirement is something of a, it's kind of a new idea the last 30, 40 years probably, and it's something that economists and our corporations have come up with. And many times, there is still positive work that can be done by our senior adults, but far too many people want to put them out to pasture too early. There is a quote that I want to share with you, and it says, I want to awaken the passion and the creativity of youth, combine it with the wisdom, experience, and insight of our elders, and transform our world. You think you could do that if we were to combine both of those in a group of people? I believe we could. While many may put senior adults out to pasture, God has different plans. As we look at senior adults in Scripture, there are many in how God uses them. Two of the first people that we recognize being as what we would say senior adults in Scripture would be Moses and Aaron. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 7, we learn that these men, do you know how old they were when God called them to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage? Do you remember how old they were? Does anybody know how old Moses was? How about 80 years old? Moses was 80 years old when God called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt bondage. How old do you think Aaron was? 83. He was 83 years old. So here are two men in their 80s, and they're not being put out to pasture, but God is using them for one of the greatest events in history, of His people being called out from bondage and going and inheriting the promised land. God is using Moses, these senior adults, what we would consider senior adults, 80 and 83 years old, to lead God's people into the promised land. But it's not only, as I begin to think about Moses and Aaron at 83, I have some questions that I want to ask. And here they are. Why? Why did he choose Moses and Aaron at 80 and 83? Why would he do that? Why did God decide to use these old men, as some would say? Was it because of their age? Some might think, well, it's because of their age. They have that experience. They have the capability of that experience to do what God is wanting them to do. others might think, was it their faith? Was it because of their faith? Was it because of their experience? Was it their willingness to learn why God chose to use these men? Or was it their ability to trust? And as I'm sitting there thinking why God chose to use these men or decided to use them, I began to think, I wonder what it was. What was it? And then I began to look at the story that we have here today in Joshua chapter 14. But of course, it doesn't begin in chapter 14 of Joshua. It begins way back in Numbers chapter 13. That's really where this story begins. And it begins with Moses. God is asking Moses to send 12 spies into the promised land to see what type of land that is. Two of these young men that he sends to spy out the land, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb. At the time in which they went and spied out the land, they were probably around 40 years old. That's how old Joshua and Caleb were. I want you to look over with me in Numbers chapter 13. I want to read some verses here. Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 and 28. Here is a report of the people of the 10 other spies who were with Joshua and Caleb. Thus they told him to Moses and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." If you look on down into verse number 30, you will see a different report that Caleb provides. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it.'" But then look at verses number 31 through 33. "But the men who had gone up with Caleb and Joshua said, 'We are not able to go up against this people, for they are too strong for us.' So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size.'" Look at verse 33. "There also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So you have this report, a conflicting report. Joshua and Caleb are wanting to go into the land. "We can do this." 10 other spies say, "We cannot." Did you catch their reason why? It is significant for you to notice what they were saying to the children of Israel as to why they should not go into the land. It is significant. I want you to look at part two, the part two of this. Looking down in verses, Numbers 14, verses 6, beginning with verse 6. "Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes." Why are they tearing their clothes? Because the children of Israel decide not to go and conquer the land. They decide to stay where they are. So Joshua and Caleb, they are tearing their clothes. Look at verse 7. "And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, 'The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land.'" Verse 8. "If the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey." If the Lord is pleased with us, He will bring us into the land. Now I want you to turn over to Joshua chapter 14, verses that Tucker read. And I want you to look, here are two old men. 80 to 85 years old, Joshua and Caleb. They are old men, yet they are still young at heart. I want you to look in verse number 6 of Joshua chapter 14. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and said to him, "You know." I love those first two words. "You know." It is like, do you remember Joshua? Do you remember those years ago when we were spying out before the land? Do you remember what the Lord showed us? Do you remember what the other 10 spies said? So he's asking him to remember. Remember the passion. Remember the power that God had given them to go and conquer the land that so many years ago. Remember. You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. I want you to look at verse number 8 because it also is significant. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. Those are the other spies who were given a different report. But I followed the Lord my God fully. Skip down to verse number 10. Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as He spoke these 45 years. From the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am 85 years old today. I wonder if is there anybody around or 80 and above in here in the sanctuary this morning? If you're 80 and or above, raise your hand. 80 and above. Anybody in here 70 years old and above? 70? Look what Caleb tells Joshua. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that the Anakim were there. There's that word again. Those men, those great men, big men, with great fortified cities. Perhaps, if you were to underline anything, it would be this passage of Scripture. Perhaps the Lord will be with me. Perhaps. We see it is a refrain that goes throughout Scripture. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. So here it is. Caleb is 85 years old, and now he is given the opportunity to conquer the land that was his, that the Lord had given him 45 years before. As I look at these passages of Scripture, what I want to ask you is, what were they afraid about 45 years earlier? Of what were they afraid? I've written here in my notes, you've heard the saying, it's not about the size of the dog in the fight. I would dare tell you that it's not even about the size of the fight in the dog. I would even tell you that it's nothing to do with age. It does not matter if you're 85 or if you're 14 or 13, 12. It does not matter the age with God. It really does not matter. What matters is what Caleb said. I had followed the Lord with all my heart. I had followed Him fully. No matter if it was 45 years ago, what was Caleb doing? He was following the Lord fully. 45 years later, what was he doing? Following the Lord fully. Could he have conquered the land if he would have been 13 years old? If he was following the Lord fully, I believe he could have. Perhaps, when we are following the Lord fully, no matter our age, no matter if we are 20, No matter if we are in high school, no matter if we are 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, even 90, the Lord can still use us. The Lord can still use us to do mighty things if we only follow Him fully. You see, what the other 10 spies were afraid of was the size of the people. That's what they were afraid of. They're giants in the land. They make us look like grasshoppers. Now, I find that interesting, because truly, they did not understand. And I know God cannot be... We say that we serve a big God, and that is an arbitrary term, because for God, there is no such thing as size. He is continuously, He is an infinite being that has no size about Him. He just is. But when I think about who God is and about what God has done in speaking forth creation and in all that He has made throughout this land that we can continuously look upon and behold the glory of God, if we understand that God, what are giants in the face of such a God? And that's where the people had gone wrong. It's not that they're just 80 years old. We can take this to the extreme and say, well, God only uses senior adults or people who are older and mature. God will use anybody that fully follows Him. God will use anybody of any age, of any gender, if we will but recognize His power over anything that we might be faced with. As we come and we get a verse of song ready, why does God use men and women advanced in years? Why does God use men and women who are not advanced in years? See, it's really not about the ages. Here we have in this example, God using men who are in their 80s. Elsewhere in Scripture, we read how God uses children. So age really doesn't, is not the determining factor, is it? What does matter is having a God-breathed purpose in your life. What also matters is having a God-breathed understanding of the times. What also matters is having a God-breathed passion. All of these Joshua and Caleb had, and they continued to hold on to it those 40 and 5 years until they were men advanced in their age, but still were strong as the day in which they wanted to go and conquer that land 45 years ago. They had that purpose. They had an understanding of who God was, and they certainly had the passion to go do it. They had the promise, God's promise, in Numbers 14:24. But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit, there it is. Numbers 14:24, the promise. But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully. That's what the Lord says. He had a different spirit and he followed me fully. I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 8. Scripture says, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully. I wonder today, do you still have that passion? You still have that understanding, and you still have that purpose for why you are here? For it matters not how old we are. What it matters is, do we have a God-sized calling upon our life? And are we following it? And are we willing to go all in with that purpose and with that calling? Caleb was, even at 85, perhaps we're going to go in and perhaps the Lord will be with us. Doesn't matter about their size, for I know a God who is larger than life, who can speak the word, and these giant men who make me look like a grasshopper will melt away. I know a God who in Scripture tells me that when He speaks, the mountains will melt away as though they were wax. That is the size of the God that I serve. So I ask you, isn't it all about the greatness of the God that we serve? It's not about the size of the dog in the fight. It's not about the fight in the dog, the size of the fight in the dog. And it's not even about our age. What it is, it's about the greatness of a God in which we serve and in whom we believe. And I ask you tonight, or this morning, I want to ask, no matter how old you are, is there something that God is leading you to do? Would you do it today? Would you be willing to stand and say, I'm going to do that today? Folks, I pray that you here in this church would rise up and that you would achieve the purpose and the passion that God has placed in your heart.